It worked. The faceless man came for me last night. I don't think Dana and Michael noticed anything at all. They were fast asleep when we left. The faceless man took the ladder he used with him and dumped it in a nearby ditch. I had already packed a small bag the night before. My phone, laptop, wallet, all the essentials and a bottle of water. When he came to get me, I was lying wide awake in bed, the bag hidden under my blanket. Dressed in simple sneakers and a white summer dress, a convenient but not exactly smart choice, as I believe it may have heightened the chance of us of being spotted in the darkness. I climbed out the window and let the ladder guide me to the ground. The night air was engulfing me, cleansing me from the stale, oppressed atmosphere that had taken over my former home weeks ago. I was so happy. This faceless man and I began to walk. I didn't know where we were headed, but I followed blindly. Anywhere was probably better than home. He led me away from the streets of the suburban neighborhood where Dana and Michael's house was located. We reached a nearby country road, which parts the few trees on our side from the deeper woods on the other. Cars had always been rare to come by, but the faceless man plopped down on a rock right beside the road nonetheless. He motioned for me to take a seat somewhere as well. I took out my phone and wrote a line in its notes application, asking what we were waiting for. A car with only a man and a woman inside. That was all he answered before handing me back my phone. It left me fairly confused. However, when the headlights of an oncoming vehicle cut brightly through the darkness, he stood up and without a second of hesitation, walked over to the middle of the road where he came to a halt. There he stood, wide-legged and unmoving, and waited. "What are you doing?" I called out to him, beginning to get a bit unnerved. Of course, the sentence came out as nothing more than clumsy bits of vocalization. Nothing I want to say sounds clear enough through my numb lips anymore. To my surprise, however, he seemed to understand. Or maybe it was simply the fear in my voice that alerted him. He turned his head to me, and once again, I thought I could see him smile ever so slightly. The car came closer and closer. It wasn't driving very fast, and upon spotting him standing in its way, it slowed down and eventually came to a stop in front of him. Still, the faceless man didn't move. The driver's side door was opened, and a young man got out. "Excuse me," he shouted, clearly addressing the faceless man. I remained hidden, moving behind one of the trees. I somehow believed that being out in the open wasn't what I wanted right now. "Hello?" the driver repeated. Silence, and no response. With every quiet second that passed, the man from the car appeared to grow increasingly unsettled. I felt a sliver of guilt creep up inside of me. Where was he going with this? "Are you okay, man?" the stranger called out again. He took a step towards the faceless man. The passenger side door was cracked open, but the driver quickly gestured into its direction, and I could hear him utter something along the lines of, "No, stay inside." He continued approaching the faceless man at an uncertain pace. I wasn't sure if he had taken note of his missing features yet, but when he came to a halt right in front of him and let out a blood-curdling scream, this question was answered as well. By the time the man from the car attempted to stumble backwards, the faceless man grabbed him by the collar and punched him square across the face with his other hand. The stranger gasped, and I could hear a shriek coming from inside the car. "Stop!" I yelled, dashing forth from my hiding spot. The faceless man raised his hand, motioning for me to stay still, and for a few seconds I obeyed. The passenger side door swung open, and a woman staggered out. I could see the panicked look on her face for just the blink of an eye before she began to run down the road into the direction opposite from us. This seemed to alert the faceless man. He appeared to have knocked the guy from the car out completely by then, seeing as when he let go of his collar, he sank to the ground. I stumbled forward, trying to catch him, before his head could make contact with the rough pavement. To my surprise, I succeeded. The air was knocked out of me as he fell into my arms. The faceless man had run after the passenger, who was still clumsily attempting to flee. She was wearing high heels, which were making it hard for her to get away. The faceless man didn't even need to catch up with her. I watched in horror as her weight shifted to the side and she fell. I don't know if it was her ankle snapping, but she let out a sharp scream of pain and hit the ground.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Found almost instantly. The faceless man slowed down until he halted in front of her. He looked around before bending down and picking her up. She wasn't really struggling, just crying and thrashing around in his arms. He walked over to me and carelessly dropped her next to the man she'd been driving with. I was weeping myself at this point, kneeling on the ground, holding the unconscious stranger and staring up at the faceless man. I felt the tears running down my cold cheeks. I was shivering. He let go of a breath that almost sounded like a sigh and lowered himself down beside me. He wrapped his arms around me. At first, it felt like he was trying to squeeze the air out of me, but I eventually recognized it to merely be a very clumsy embrace. I didn't really feel like hugging him back, and still sobbing, wiggled my way out of his arms, careful not to drop the unconscious man's head, which I was still holding up. The faceless man sighed once again before standing up and walking around me. He gently removed my hands from the driver's limp body and laid it out on the pavement before him. Bending over him, he began to touch his face. He ran his fingers over his cheeks, his eyelids, brows, and lips. My eyes widened when I saw the color slowly beginning to drain from the man's face. His lips turned white. The hairs of his brows and lashes vanished underneath my companion's fingertips. His nose slimmed into a smoother, pointier one. The faceless man raised his head. My jaw dropped. It was his now. It was the stranger's features, but on his formerly nondescript face. Meanwhile, the driver of the car had been left with his mannequin-like emptiness. We were in luck. I almost jumped at the sound of the voice. He'd only been able to produce small gasps and moans before. Now he was contorting his mouth, grimacing and frowning as if testing out his new face, trying to get used to it. How? I tried to press out. Whether he understood or not made no difference. Put your hands on her face, he commanded, pointing at the crying woman. I hesitated. He groaned and turned the girl onto her back and pressed her to the ground by her shoulders. Be careful. They get ideas sometimes. I got my hand bitten before. I didn't want to. I really didn't. But I didn't want to wait for the faceless man to get angry at me either. I placed my palms on the woman's cheeks, smearing the fresh, warm tears on her skin as I began to let them roam. My own face started to tingle, and my hands grew oddly warm. It felt like the pressure that had kept my mouth closed and my forehead stiff was slowly draining from my head. I watched as, under the touch of my fingers, the girl's face began to turn into the same mannequin visage I had sported seconds prior. Her eyes fell shut, and her head sank to the ground. Help me get them up, the man ordered. I was too dazed to refuse. We grabbed the two people and placed them inside the trunk of their own car before getting inside, him taking the wheel. I dared to take a quick glance into the rearview mirror, leaning over to inspect my face, only that it wasn't mine. It wasn't me looking back. I hurriedly turned my head again. Once the formerly faceless man had started driving, not a single word would go on to leave his mouth until I spotted the bright lights of a rest stop in the darkness ahead of us. He pulled up outside. It was one of those large gas stations connected to a few small fast food restaurants and convenience stores. He sighed and leaned back in his seat, turning to give me a stern look. You're kind of shaken up now. I get that. No worries, though. Soon as we're done with our faces, we'll get those two in the trunk to safety. So I don't want you doing anything stupid when we're in there. We need food. He smiled softly, but it didn't really come off. It's too warm. If you're good, I'll let you choose what we're going to have for dinner. What's happening? I whispered, stifling a sob. He growled ever so slightly. Would you please not start crying again? He hissed. It's getting on my nerves. I swallowed, nodding and breathing a little. I'm sorry, before daring to look up at him again. So, I found out about borrowing faces soon after I ran away. You've seen how it works. It lasts for about 10 hours, during which they're unconscious. Then we go back to blank, and they go back to normal. You can't fight it. It happens on its own. So apart from a few bruises, we didn't cause any lasting damage back there. He cleared his throat. I'm not a talky guy, I'm sorry. But by you doing something stupid, I meant drawing attention to us in any way. I hope you're not dumb enough to believe I'm your enemy, or that you can or should run away or alert anyone. Soon as your face is blank again, everyone who sees you will run anyways. What I'm trying to say is, you have absolutely nowhere else to go, so stay. He fell silent, staring me right in the eyes. You understand that, don't you? Yes, yes, I muttered, unable to break his gaze. And you promise you won't cause any trouble? Yes. Much obliged. With that, he got out of the car, and I followed at a slower pace. When we were walking up to the store, I kept looking over my shoulder. I was way too nervous to stay still. Do you have any money on you? I asked. Of course. I paused, trying to think. There had been something I'd been meaning to ask him, but it took me a few seconds to remember. Hey, what's your name? Phoenix. I'm Phoenix. I'm Christine, now shush, he interrupted me. We had reached the entrance and the glass door slid open for us. The bright white light stung my eyes and I turned my head. The man, Phoenix, gave me a quick smile which was probably meant to reassure me, but sadly failed to do so. I was unsure of whether it was the fact that his face wasn't his own, but every single friendly expression he would attempt to muster looked utterly forged and alarming. Look around a little. It'll calm you down. See if you want anything. Don't hold back. We need lots of stuff anyways. I nodded and reluctantly walked off, watching as he disappeared between the aisles. My heart was still pounding rapidly in my chest, and my ears were ringing. I tried to focus on the products I was looking at, wandering from the liquor section over to the magazines, until I eventually ended up in the candy aisle. Sugar has always had a way of soothing my nerves, so I picked up a few things from there, and then went to look for Phoenix. He was already standing around near the cash register, seemingly waiting for me. I wordlessly swept up to him, and we joined the short line. Once it was our turn, Phoenix unloaded the ungodly amount of groceries he had been carrying onto the counter. I spotted a concerning amount of tiny bottles he had probably picked up on his own trip to the liquor aisle earlier. I timidly placed my few packets of candies on top of the heap and looked up at Phoenix. He barely seemed to acknowledge my presence, instead focusing on his purchase. Once it was all bagged, I offered to carry some of it, but he declined and scooped it all up, restoring the awkward silence between us as we walked back to the car and continued driving. After what must have been another 30 minutes on the road, Phoenix steered the car off onto a gravel path, leading away from the streets and deeper into the woods that had been flanking us the whole time. I had already been nervous enough with just the darkness outside, but driving past the tree line felt as if the forest had swallowed us whole. Eventually, Phoenix stopped the car and got out. "Welcome home," he said dryly, once I joined him outside. We were standing in front of a log cabin. Phoenix motioned for me to get out our shopping bags while he pulled out a set of keys to let us in. It was warm inside. The gentle light of the ceiling lamps was quick to chase away all that had made me shiver back outside. The cabin wasn't too remote. I watched as Phoenix stored all of our purchases in the fridge and pantries of the small section of the building that was his kitchen. "Feel free to get comfortable. Bathroom's behind the little door back there, and you can just go ahead and watch TV or something. If you're hungry, well, you saw where I put the stuff. Don't hold back. Better get used to everything. you're going to be here for a long time. He paused, frowning. Don't look in the freezer yet, though, if you happen to stumble across it, okay? I raised a brow. Why not? Just don't, okay? Okay. Okay, he repeated, letting go of a short sigh. If someone knocks, don't let them in. It's not me, I got the keys. Keep that in mind. I'll take care of our little problem in the trunk now. The plan is to get the car close to the rest stop. Then I'll get them back on their seats and leave them there to sleep. I'll have to walk home, so it might take a while. Don't worry, and if you get tired, don't wait for me to come back. Probably better for you to get some rest soon anyways. I waved him goodbye as he walked out the door. A few seconds later, I could hear the car door slam and the engine sputter to life. I'm not sure how long it's been since he left, but I've decided to take his advice to heart, and don't worry. I'm not sure how long it's been since he left, but I've decided to take his advice to heart, and don't worry. Instead, I'm using the time he's not around to cry right now. I feel like I've been going through every emotion a person can have in one single day. Relief, fear, sadness, concern, guilt. I try not to think about the two people we ambushed in the woods. I need to believe they're okay. I've never hurt anyone before or even witnessed anything like it for that matter. I hate myself for letting it happen. I pray they won't remember and that neither of them are hurt. But all I know for sure is what Phoenix said about the works of borrowing faces. At least he was right about something, though. I realized it while I was waiting. I truly do not have anywhere else to go.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. And then you'll start to wonder why everything else isn't so fast. Like, why does it take so long to do the dishes? A meal that's gone in three requires 45 minutes worth of dishes. Doesn't make sense. But it does make sense to get renter's insurance through GEICO. That way, that pile of dirty dishes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.